All right, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday with the explanation of Rabban Gamliel's position according to Rava. And Amar Rava, Rava says, "My time at the Rabban Gamliel, the misfekele get idachi ilo dachi, mamar ikani ilo kani." That the safek that Rabban Gamliel has is, does it work 100% or does it not work at all? It's a binary decision here about get and mamar, and that's the safek that we have. If it works 100%, then, of course, ein achar mamar mamar, ve'ein achar get get. And then, if it doesn't work at all, then just like it didn't work the first time, it won't work the second time, so there's no meaning in the second get, and there's no meaning in the second mamar. That's how we left off in Rova's explanation of Rabban Gamliel. Now, et ve'abayi, Abayi challenges that and says, umode Rabban Gamliel, sheyesh get achar mamar, umamar achar get. So we know that Rabbi Gamliel agrees that even though there is ein get achar get and ein mamar achar mamar, nevertheless, he does think there is a get after mamar, and he does think there's a mamar achar get. And he also thinks get achar bia mamar, there is a get after bia and a mamar, mamar achar bia v'get. There's also mamar after bia and a get. Now, in the latter part of this, Breita that we're quoting over here, we have get, that is, after bia umamar. Obviously, this is not with one woman, but rather, you have different yivamot here. There's mamar with the first yivama. He does bia with the second yivama. And then he does get with the third yivama. And yet, he says, Rabban Gamliel, that it is effective, that get has impact. And the same is true the other way around. If he gave a get to the first yivama, and then he had bia with the second yivama, and then does mamar with the third yivama, that mamar is still effective. So you have mamar achar get, and you have a get achar mamar. V'im isvekele. If it's really true that Rabbi Gamliel has this safek, te'avi biyak lichat chilo, then there should be nothing after biya mimon of shak. V'tikne. As Rashi points out over here, if you think about, right, if you think about this being a binary option, get or mamar being binary, either they're 100% effective, or they're 0%. So in either of the scenarios that we just brought at the end of the Braita here, he did mamar with one yivama, and then he did bia with the second yivama. Mimon of shach, he should be done now. Because either the mamar worked 100%, and he was done at that point, or the mamar worked 0%, and then the bia is 100%, because there was nothing that was before the bia. The bia was first. And everybody agrees when bia is first that it's effective. And the same thing the other way around. If you get a get to the first yivama, and then he did bia with the second yivama, either the get is a zero, and the bia is effective, 100%, or the get's 100% effective, then the bia is nothing. So the third option, where we have mamar or get, after the first two items, those should be irrelevant, if you really think that get and mamar are binary. In the fact that they're either a zero, 100%, then after you've done get or mamar first, and then bia, you should be done with the process. Nothing after that should be meaningful, because you've completed the process no matter what. Because bia, in the beginning, there's nothing after it. So it's clear from here that the Braita says that Rabban Gamliel thinks there still is mamar get after bia, even though, based on your explanation, Rava, we should have been done at bia, because either the first mamar get took care of the problem, or did nothing, and then the bia was the first thing and it took care of everything. So why should there be a third stage, or a third yivama here, where you can do get or mamar afterwards? That's the question that Abaye poses to Rova. Rashi, supposedly, the Tosafot quotes Rashi is saying that he agrees that there's biach or bia here, even though we don't see that in our Rashis, but Tosafot quotes Rashi is saying that even though if he was right and he did get and then bia, then another bia afterwards should have been meaningless, because ain't biach or bia if it's the bia rishona. Tosafot says you don't have any proof to that, because we don't see Rabban Gamliel saying that anywhere. From the Braita, we only see him saying that mamar or get are effective after bia. We don't see him saying that there is bia afterwards. But then he says, "Mi yesh l'daktek yesh biachar bia psula the Rabban Gamliel." He says we can be mitdaktek, that there is a way to come to that understanding as well. That for Rabban Gamliel, just like there's no mamar achar mamar and no get achar get, it should also be ain bia achar bia. So Tosafot does in the end support that idea that Rashi raises, but again, you can see the question even without it, which is that simply there's get to mamar at the end, there shouldn't be any impact. Elo Amar Abayi, so Abayi brings a new explanation here. Elo Olam Pshita Lei LeRabbi Gamliel Beget D'Dochi U'Mamar D'Kani. Rabbi Gamliel agrees that a get is effective and Mamar is effective. I mean that it's not this binary option where it's 0 or 100%. He is certain that it has impact. Get has impact, Mamar has impact. Miu. Amur Abanan Hayivama B'chad Zad Mahani Ba Get B'chad Zad Mahani Ba Mamar. Just, they are effective with the Yivama in two different ways. Mamar and Get are functioning on different wavelengths. And that's what the reason is. If you have Mamar, you did Mamar, then it works. Mamar works up to a certain point. It does a partial kinyan. So therefore, if you try to come and do a Mamar afterwards, it's ineffective because whatever Mamar could do, it did already. Whatever Mamar could accomplish, it has accomplished. If you try to do another Mamar afterwards, it's meaningless. On the other hand, if you go and do a get after Mamar, it is effective because get works on a different wavelength. Mamar affects this portion of the Yivama. Get affects the other portion of the Yivama. So whatever the Mamar left over, the get is able to affect. Because Mamar is not 100% effective. Nobody thinks that, except for Beit Shammai, thinks that Mamar is 100% effective. So over here, say a Mamar is 50% effective. So if it's 50% effective, then if you try to do another Mamar, it's trying to accomplish the same 50%. It can't do anything. But if you bring a get, the get is attacking the other 50% that the Mamar did not deal with. And that's what the get is attaching to or functioning with. Therefore, there is get achar Mamar or Mamar achar get because they're functioning on different wavelengths. But there is no Mamar achar Mamar and no get achar get because they are functioning on the same wavelength.
Doesn't the get then remove the Mamar? The get, the partial, you know, the partial removal of the Zika.
Your question is a fair question. Tosafot raised it in yesterday's daf, which is, if he gives a get directed at the Mamar,
right,
then all it does is unwind the Mamar, and we're back to square one.
Zero.
That's right, square zero, square one. It's as if you started over again, and we saw that earlier in the Masechta. But that's only if he specifies that the get is for the Mamar. The default of a get, when you give it, is not only to unwind the Mamar, but it's to unwind Zika, and that's what causes the problem. That the get attacks the Zika, and not just the Mamar. That's why the get is not just effective to unwind the Mamar. The get affects the Zika that's there, which is, let's say there's 100% of Zika. Mamar does enough to attach to 50% of the Zika. The other 50% of the Zika, the get comes and blocks or tries to unwind. And again, the get's effective on that 50%. The Mamar is effective on the other 50%. Because of that, ain't Mamar achar Mamar, but there is get achar Mamar, or the other way around. There is Mamar achar get. Because get is only effective if knocking off 50% of the Zika, the Mamar can come and attach to the other 50%. But what will be true, according to Rabban Gamliel, which we'll see in a second, is that once you perform Mamar, say you have a get, then Mamar, if you try to perform Mamar again, it would not be effective. I mean, ain't Mamar achar Mamar, and ain't get achar get, does not matter where in the sequence that is. There is, because get accomplished everything it could accomplish, or Mamar accomplished everything it could accomplish. The only thing that does open up, according to Abai's explanation, is that Mamar and get can be together, that they can function at the same time. So now, get achar get lo dochi. Get or get achet doesn't work, because the first get did whatever it could with it, so the second get is ineffective at this point in time. Umamar achar mamar lo kani, dakani le kamo. Whatever the first mamar did, the second mamar cannot accomplish again because it's done. Whatever mamar could do, you've done. But get achar mamar, umamar achar get, hai milta de kodochi, hai milta kokani. Again, 50% is being nikne al yedei mamar, the other 50% is affected by the get. They're not running on the same wavelength, and therefore they're able to impact because they are working on different wavelengths. V'rabbonon. Now, what about the sheet of the Rabbonon? The Ma'akom Mamar Achar Mamar. They say there is Get Achar Get. How do they work? Kochad Bechad Takinu Le Rabbonon Get U'Mamar B'Yivama. So every Yivama has Get and Mamar, meaning that that possibility is open to every relationship or every permutation that you have here. So therefore, it's not just that there's a general Zika here, and therefore you can affect with Mamar that Zika, and that's it. You can't affect it again. No, between every Yavam and every Yivama that's here, there is a spoke line that goes between them. And that spoke line is open to Mamar and Get. That means that for each one of them, you have that ability to affect a Mamar or affect a Get. V'hai bi'apsula adifa mi'mamar. Now, according to Rabban Gamliel, Bia Psula has something that it's better than Mamar for, and it has something that is not as good as Mamar for. Adifa mi Mamar, It's better than mamar, dilu mamar, achar mamar, lo mahani. Because if you do two mamars in a row, according to Rav Gamliel, ineffective. Bilu bi achar mamar mahani. On the other hand, if you do bia after mamar, it does have impact, according to Rabban Gamliel. Again, it doesn't make it into a yivum, but it does have impact. If he does mamar with the first yivama and bia with the second yivama, he has a problem with both yivamot that he has to unwind. Now he has to deal with both of them. The reason that is because bia is deoraita, whereas mamar is only derabbanan. The mamar with the first one ruined the bia with the second one. That's why it's called a bia psula, because it's not in the beginning. You're right. When bia is done first, it's effective to knock out everything else. When bia is done second, it does not have that impact. True. If he had done mamar and bia with the same woman, he'd be married to her. He would have accomplished yibum. But obviously here we're talking about one yavam with two yavamot. So he did mamar with the first, bia with the second. The mamar is effective to lock down some part of the zika with the first, so that when he does bia with the second, it's a bia psula, and it does not accomplish yibum. But the bia is effective to cause a problem here with the second woman. So that's how bia is stronger than mamar, because ain't mamar achar mamar, but there is bia achar mamar. On the other hand, griya mi mamar, it has less effect than mamar. Dilu mamar achar get, kani lukule shira de get. Mamar after a get is effective in this way, that get affects 50%, we said. Mamar affects a different 50% that was left over. So there is a mamar chet. Vilu bia achar get, lo kani le lukule shira de get. That is not true with the bia achar a get. Bia after a get does not accomplish everything that can be accomplished. How do I know that? Because let's look at this scenario. In a scenario where he gives a get to the first yivama, then he goes ahead and does mamar with the second yivama. So we said, according to Rav Gamliel, mamar and get are working on different wavelengths. Both are effective then. The get's effective to knock out the 50% with the first woman. The mamar is effective to grab the other 50% with the second woman. What happens if there's a third woman now? Third yivama. And he wants to perform mamar with the third woman. Can he perform mamar again? The answer is no, according to Rav Gamliel. Ain mamar acha mamar, even in the middle, because whatever mamar could accomplish, he accomplished with the second woman. That means if he comes to the third woman, ain mamar acha mamar. But what happens in this scenario? You give a get to the first woman, he has bia with the second woman. Bia psula. What happens if he goes to the third woman and has bia with her? Is there bia acha bia? The answer is yes. There is only ain bia acha bia. Bia was the first item that he did. But bia psula, there is bia achar bia psula. What that shows you is that mamar is more effective at grabbing whatever's left over than bia psula. Because if you give a get first, and now mamar is coming to attack whatever's left over, mamar accomplishes everything that is possible with mamar is accomplished with that second yivama. That means you come to the third yivama, mamar will have no meaning, no bearing, because it's ineffective at this point, because the second mamar did all of that. Whereas if you have a bia psula with the second woman, that bia psula is not effective to grab everything. And therefore, if you go and bia with the third woman, that bia psula will also be create problems for you. Just like the second bia create problems for you, so will the third bia. Because bia psula doesn't have as strong a hold to take effect or to grab onto whatever is left over. So that's why, in one way, bia is stronger than mamar. And in one way, mamar is stronger than bia. Bia is stronger than mamar because bia has effect after mamar. On the other hand, bia is weaker than mamar because there can be a bia achar bia, but there cannot be a mamar achar mamar. So that's what's here being described in the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, according to Abaye. All right, Tanu Rabbanan. Ketzad amar Rabbi Gamliel en get achar get. What is the scenario in which Rabbi Gamliel says en get achar get? Shtei yevamot, shnaflu lifnei yabam echad. You have two yevamot that fall to a single yabam. Natan get lezu, v'get lezu. He gives a get to one yivama, then he gives a get to another yivama. So his brother had co-wives. He dies, the brother dies, and leaves him these two wives for yivamot. He gives a get to the first one, gives a get to the second one. He does chalitza with the first one. And her relatives are restricted. And she is mutar with the krovot to the shniyah. Now, truthfully, he could do chalitza with the second one, just like he do chalitza with the first one. It's just as Rashi says, Eitzatova, Kamash Valan. They're giving him good advice. Do Chalitza with the first one because you're for sure Pasul with the relatives of the first one because the get was effective with the first one. So you may as well do Chalitza with the first one because Ben Kach or Ben Kach, that first woman's relatives are going to be restricted to you. If you do Chalitza with the second one, then not only are you restricting the relatives of the first Yivama, you're also restricting the relatives of the second one. One will be because of the get, one because of the Chalitza. to do chalitza with the first one, so you limit the restricted women to you. That's just good advice. Technically, you could have done chalitza with the second. But what you see from Gamliel is that the second get is ineffective. It's ineffective, so the krovot, the relatives of the second woman, are not restricted to him. Chamim omrim, in the time get the zoo, asur b'krovot shtehem. The Chachamim say there is get achar get, and therefore the get with the first one, the get with the second one already, causes some problems with relatives from both women. Now he's restricted in both women's relatives. V'chalitza la'achat mehen. And he does chalitza with either one of them now, because for the Rabbana it's not going to matter, because chalitza doesn't add anything the get already didn't do. The get already made him pasul in all the relatives, for the first and the second one, so he can pick. Whoever he does chalitza with, it's not going to make it any worse than it was before. So, too, you would say, if there were two Yivamim, two brothers with only one Yivama, if each one of them gave her a get, the same thing would be true. Again, for Rabban Gamliel, the first one would be restricted in the relatives of the Yivama, the second one would not be. And the first one should perform Chalitza in order to, again, Eitzatova, so that the second one's not restricted. Whereas for the Chachamim, both Yivamim, both brothers will be restricted in the relatives of this Yivama, because they both granted a get. And again, as we explained before, the difference being that Rabban Gamliel views this as being a collective connection between them, and therefore whatever the get did, with one of them, it affects all of them or takes care of all of them. Whereas the Chachamim view, each party you're having a separate line of connection, so therefore the get of the first one and the get of the second one are both effective, even though the first get should have done everything. It did everything for that relationship between that brother and that Yivama. But the other brother and the Yivama has his own relationship, and the get can affect that relationship. So now, Ketzad Amar Gamliel ain't Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar. What's an example where Rabbi Gamliel says there is no Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar? Shtei Yivamot shenaflu lifnei Yabam Echad. You have two Yivamot that fell to a single Yabam. Basa Ma'amar Bezu, u'Ma'amar Bezu. Again, he does Ma'amar with the first Yivama, Ma'amar with the second Yivama. It gives a get to the first one to unwind the mamar. And he does chalitza with her. And he is restricted in her relatives in the first yivamas. And the relatives of the second yivama, he is mutar in them. Again, he could have performed chalitza technically with either one of them. It might even be better to do chalitza with the second. We'll see that in a second. But nevertheless, if he does everything with the first woman, the second woman remains completely muteret in terms of her relatives to him, because he performed no action with her that had relevance within Yibum. The mamar was irrelevant because it was mamar achar mamar. The get and chalitza he did with the first woman. Chumim armim, notin get l'shtehem. He has to give a get to both of them because the mamar was effective with both of them. So he has to give a get to each one of them. Basur krovot shtehem. And therefore he is restricted in the relatives of both Yivamot. V'chalitza l'achat mehen, and it doesn't matter. Again, he can do chalitza with either one of them because it's Esther and Krovot anyway, so the chalitza is irrelevant who he does it with. V'chein ata omer b'shnei yivamim v'yama achat. The same will be true if there were two brothers and a single yivama. If both of them perform ma'amar with this yivama, then each one of them has to grant her a get, and then one of them has to perform chalitza with her to release her. Amar. So now the Gemara discusses this little section that we brought down, which is noten get lezu v'get lezu. Rav Gamliel omer choleitz rishona v'asur b'krovotah u'mutor b'krovot shnia. Lama tahavi tiyufta d'shmua. Let us say that this is a strong refutation of Shmuel's position. Damar Shmuel chalatz the balata get lo niftara tzara. Because Shmuel said earlier in the Masechta, if you do a chalitza psula is not effective to release the co-wife. So here, it should have been the other way around. You should have opted to give chalitza to the woman that he didn't do anything with, because that chalitza would have been more effective at this point in time. If he does chalitza with the woman who he has the get with, he's already what's called kalash. He's weakened the connection between him and this woman. So when he performs chalitza with this weakened connection, it only releases that woman, but not her co-wife. On the other hand, if he does chalitza with the other woman, which he had done nothing with, again, ain't get achar get, so the second get was ineffective, that means he has a full connection to that woman, then that chalitza would be effective, it's a full-fledged chalitza, would be effective to take out that woman and her co-wife. Here, the Rabbi Gamliel suggests that you do chalitza with the first woman, and that's it, and you're done, shows you that even a weakened chalitza is effective in releasing both women. So that's against Shmuel's position. So the truth is that Tosfot mentions this on the Mishnah as well. Because in our Mishnah as well, it says you can do one chalitza and it's enough. We saw earlier in the Masechta that when you have a chalitza psula, that a chalitza psula, you need to go around to all the brothers or to all the Yevamot and do a chalitza with each one of them, at least according to one day, that to do a chalitza with each of them, because a chalitza psula is not effective enough without doing it, going around to all the brothers. So Tosfot says, if that is the case, when you read chalitza in the Mishnah, you have to say, l'man damar chalitza psula tzricha lagzor ha'cha bo bet chalitzot, v'ka ayinami tzrichot ha'chalitza. When you say the word chalitza, it means all the chalitzot that you need, even though it's not written in plural over there. So Tosfot already noted this on the Mishnah, that when it said in the Mishnah chalitza in the singular, it doesn't mean just one chalitza. According to that day, it means chalitza for everybody. But over here, Rabbi Gamliel is specific about who you're doing the chalitza with. It's chalitza birishona. You do the chalitza with the first woman. And in doing so, then you are now saying that that chalitza psula is effective to take care of what you need. So Amar Lecha Shmuel, ki amre ana aliba demandamar yesh zika. My whole stance is premised on the one who says there is zika. Rabbi Gamliel savar in zika. Rabbi Gamliel holds there is no zika. So here, what Shmuel is explaining to us is the reason that you need to do a chalitza with the strongest connection is because zika comes in different powers. Zika is stronger in some places, weaker in other places. If you go and attack the weaker zika with your chalitza, it's not strong enough to overcome the stronger zika. So for instance here, if he gave a get to one of the women and the second woman he has no dealings with, then the zika with the second woman is still as strong as it was when he started. The zika with the first woman has now been reduced because of that get. And so if he does chalitza with that first woman, he's attacking a weaker zika. If he attacks a weaker zika, it does not help you for the stronger zika he has with the other woman. Whereas, if he does chalitza with the second woman, where there's a full-fledged chalitza in there, that is attacking a full-fledged chalitza that also is poter, the other one with the weaker chalitza. But that's only true if you believe there's zika there. Without zika being there, then it doesn't really matter who you do chalitza with, because the zika is not there to say stronger, weaker zika. There's no zika at all. And that's why it's not effective. So Rabbi Gamliel says there is no zika. And we know that from later on in the Masechta, when we get there, Daf Kuftet, again, the case by Ektana, that by a case where there is a woman who is married to a man, but she's a Ktana, what do we do in that scenario if he has Yibum? His brother is married to her sister, who's a Gdola, and the brother passes away. Now you're faced with Yibum Doraita versus Kiddushim Derabonon that are associated with this Ktana. So now, over there, he says, Miyana, Miyana, that woman can do Miyan with him. Otherwise, it's not a problem. If there is Zika, then Rabbi Gamliel would have a problem there, because in Miyana, Miyana, you have a Zika with the other woman, it should affect the situation. The fact that Rabbi Gamliel doesn't worry about the effects of the sister over there shows you that he doesn't think there's a zika. Now, if there's no zika there, then when you do chalitza with the weaker one or the stronger one, it's irrelevant. It just wipes out. Chalitza is chalitza now. So because of that, Rabbi Shmuel says it's not a question on me, because he doesn't hold of zika. Now, Midr Gamliel savar ain't zika. The fact that Rabbi Gamliel holds there is no zika, Rabbanan savre yesh zika. We'll assume that the Rabbanan hold there is a zika. Rashi simply says that this is a logical argument. Let's just assume, if Rabbi Gamliel holds there isn't, they're arguing here, so let's assume that the Rabbanan argue Rabbi Gamliel also argue on this point that there is zika or there isn't zika. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who believe that you could even argue logically that it makes sense here to say that there is or isn't zika, that the Chachamim hold that there is zika over here, because we just explained before that Ein Mamar Achar Mamar or Yesh Mamar Achar Mamar might actually have to do with this whole situation or whole this idea of Zika. Because Rabbi Gamliel looks at the whole picture in one shot. There's only one Mamar for all the brothers to all the Yevamot. Because the Chachamim see that there's a Mamar for every one of the relationships that's there. Every brother and every Yevama have the possibility of a Mamar. That is because probably there is a zika there that creates a relationship between all the parties that are involved. So you could even argue logically that the Chachamim might have zika here, whereas Rabbi Gamliel does not have zika. What you're saying is correct, that according to the Chachamim, all the relationships are bound at that moment. Between every possible brother and the Yevama, all those relationships are established through a zika at that moment. That's the way the Chachamim view it, and that's maybe why we can say now the Chachamim says there is zika. What Rabbi Gamliel is saying is that There is a whole relation, there is a singular relationship that exists here between all the brothers and all the Yevamot. And as soon as one of them acts, he then is attacked, whatever that relationship is, and that you cannot replicate it, you can't do it again. So there's a singular relationship between all of them. They, any party can act on it, but only can act on it once because there's a singular relationship between them. So according to that, you could argue that there is a logic to saying that the Rabbanan there is a Zika versus Rav Gamliel saying there is no Zika. Again, Rashi simply says that the Gemara is just inferring it from the fact that Rav Gamliel says no Zika, Rabbanan say there is Zika. But Tani Seifa, then what are you going to do with the latter half of the writer that we just quoted? B'chein atomer b'shnei yivamim v'yamachat. The same is true by two yivamim and one yivama. Lema tabiyat yufta d'rabba baravun amarav. That should be a problem or a strong refutation of the position of Rabbi Rav Huna Marav. The Amar Rabbi Rav Huna Marav, Chalitza Psula, Tzricha Lechzor HaKol Achim. When you do a Chalitza Psula, you have to go around to all the brothers, is what we just discussed. That Tosfot says in the Mishnah means Chalitza means you go around to all of them. So over here, if you think about that last case in the Braita, over there the Chachamim said that when he does Mamar with both of them, and then we said you have to give a get to each one of them, and then one Chalitza. And then the Braita said, V'chein, the same is true when you have two Yevamim and one Yevama. That means if they're two brothers, one Yevama, they both did Mamar with her. Then what has to happen? They each have to give her a get to unwind the Mamar, and then you do one Chalitza. But why do you do one Chalitza? We just said when you're doing a Chalitza Psula, this is clearly a Chalitza Psula over here because you had Mamar and then a get, so certainly we have a problem with Chalitza Psula here. Then you have to go around to all the brothers. So why is it sufficient to do one chalitza? You should have to do multiple chalitzot over here. Based on that, that would be a problem for Rabbi Barav Huna Marav's position that we saw earlier in the Masechta, chalitza psula, tzuchala chzora kol achim. So amalacha Rabbi Barav Huna ben the Rabbi Gamliel ben the Rabbanan sabre ein zika. He says, no, you've just made, according to Rashi, you just made the assumption is wrong. According to the others, that there's a logic in saying that the Rabbanan have a zika over here, we can still say that there is, without that logic of saying there's a Zika, we can still establish the position of the Rabbonon. So that there is a Zika, v'hocha, v'get akarchet, umar marachamar get, kamiflege. The only thing that they argue about, the only machlok between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Gamliel is whether get akarchet is effective or marachamar is effective. But as far as Zika is concerned, everybody agrees that ain't Zika over here. There is no Zika in this instance. Okay, amamar. Asa mamar b'zu, umabar b'zu. He does a mamar with one of the yivamot, and then a mamar with another one of the yivamot. Rabbi Gamliel Omer noten get l'rishona v'chol eitzla. He gives a get to the first one, does chalitza with her, v'asur b'krovotea, mutar b'krovot shnia. Michte. Let us see from here. Kasava Rabbi Gamliel, ein mamar achar mamar. So then, Rabbi Gamliel says there is no mamar achar mamar. So nobody asked me this when we did the braita, but then, rishonami, Tityabim. He might have said he performed Yibum with the first one. Think about this. He did Ma'amar with the first Yivamah, Ma'amar with the second Yivamah. According to Rabbi Gamliel, the second Ma'amar is completely ineffective. That means that all he's done so far is had Ma'amar with one of the Yivamot. Well, if you do a Ma'amar with the Yivamah, you know what you can do next? Biyah, and then you have a full fledged Yibum. Why can't he consummate the Yibum over here? Why are we saying, according to Rabbi Gamliel, when he does Ma'amar and then Ma'amar, he has to go give a get to the first one and chalitza with the first one to unwind it and then dissolve the entire yibum over here. Let him consummate the yibum with the first one. It should be completely effective. The second mamar was meaningless. He should be able to marry her, perform yibum with her, and not have to divorce her over here. It says, Zera dilma atli yume lishnia. Because it's too risky. If we let him perform yibum with the first one because the mamar was effective, he might end up coming to perform Yibum with the second one and say that the Mamar with the second one was effective and I get to choose now. I can have Yibum with either one of them, and that is not true. Because Yibum with the second one is problematic because of the Mamar with the first one was effective. He did two Mamarot. He did Mamar with the Yivama Aleph and he Mamar with Yivama Bet.
Now he goes to
if he performed Bia with the first woman, he should that basically consummates the Yibum and it should be fine because ain't Mamar Khar Mahamar. But if instead he just had Bia with the second Yivama. He didn't have Bia with the first Yivama. He only had Bia with the second Yivama. That Bia is a Bia Psula. Because according to Rabbi Gamliel, the first Mamar was effective with the first Yivama. The second Mamar is ineffective. Now he has a Bia Psula with the second woman. And he's just creating more problems rather than making it better. So Gamliel says we don't let you go through with the consummation of the Yibum when you do two Mamars. Because if we let you do that with the first woman, people will come to do it with the second woman. They'll say, oh, Mamar, I can do Bia. That's not, there's a problem, because the Bia with the second woman, if he does that Bia first, and not if he did the Bia first with the first woman, then you're going to create a problem here. And so Rabbi Gamliel doesn't allow it. Technically, it should work. Technically, it should be fine, because the second Mamar was meaningless, and if he did Bia with the first woman, he would consummate the Yibum. But we are afraid if we allow that to happen, that people will make the mistake and assume they can also do bia with the second woman and consummate the yibum with the second woman, which is just not true because the mamar was not affected with the second woman, it was only affected with the first woman. That'll cause a problem. It's a bia psula. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabban Gamliel, Ubeit Shammai, V'Rabbi Shimon, Uben Azai, V'Rabbi Nechemya Kulu, Sfir Lehu, Mamar Kone Kinyan Gamur. Right, so now he makes a statement here. We like to do this. We try to put together all these Tanaim that have a similar type of position, because then we can start to understand the position better or the impacts of that position. Now, many times when the Gemara does this, like here when Rabbi Yochanan does this, it's not exactly the same. When we say that Mamar is Kone Kinyan Gamur, it's not really true at the same level. Because when Beit Shammai says Kone Kinyan Gamur, they literally mean Kinyan Gamur. It works fully and it creates a full-fledged connection between them, strong enough to eliminate any other possibilities afterwards. That is the position of the Chachamim. On the other hand, when we're talking about the others, it's a Kinyan Chashuv. It's not necessarily a full-fledged Kinyan. So you just have to be careful. It's not like 100% that they all agree in the same way. Beit Shammai says it's 100% effective and it's like good as gold. You can't do anything with it. On the other hand, the other Tanaim here believe that it works. It has a certain amount of strength that is beyond what we would have supposed. But it's not 100% like Beit Shammai. And that's what Rashi says over here. Kinyan Gamur, Lav Gamur Mamash, Eli Kinyan Chashuv. And if you look in Tosfot, he says the same thing. Tosfot says, En Atanaim Kulam Shavim. So Beit Shammai Konen Medoraita. Because according to Beit Shammai, the Kinyan of Mamar is a Kinyan Deoraita. Whereas for these others, it's only a Kinyan Midirabanan. Again, we did have opinions. We saw earlier in the Masechta, Moraim, that said even for Beit Shammai, it may not be effective Doraita fully. It might have only certain aspects, or it might only be derabbanan. But again, there is a certain amount of commonality between these positions with regards to the power of mamar. So let's go through them. The Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel hadamran. Rabbi Gamliel, we already described that ain mamar achar mamar. So we see that there's a certain power in mamar because mamar ends the process at that point in time that you have no ability to have mamar afterwards. It's strong enough that there is no mamar achar mamar. So that's one. Beit Shammai. Tetznan, we have a Mishnah earlier on. Shlosha achim, shnai mehem nesuim shtei achayot. Three brothers, two of them are married to sisters, v'chad mufne, and one of them is single. Meit echad mibalai achayot, one of the brothers married to a sister passes away, v'saba mufne ma'amar, and the single brother performed ma'amar with this woman. V'chad kach meit achiv ha'shini, and then his second brother dies. So now he's faced with what we call achod zukukato, which is now he's faced with two sisters that he has to perform yibum with. So according to Beit Hillel, you'll have to detach yourself from both of them. You have to perform chalitza with both of them and detach yourself because of the zika. Beit Shammai says, Beit Shammai omim ishto imo, that his wife is with him. The fact that he performed ma'amar now creates a strong enough bond between him and that first sister, that valazut etse mishum achot isha, that the second sister is dismissed because she is the sister of his wife. I mean, that's an erva that's dismissed completely. So you see, according to Beit Shammai, Mamar is strong enough to create a relationship that will deflect the other sister from having any effect or impact over here. So you see, Beit Shammai thinks Mamar is strong, very strong. Again, we said before, Beit Shammai thinks the strongest of everyone because he thinks it's effective d'oraita to knock off the other woman and say that she's achot ishto. So effective that it's a chot ishto. Rabbi Shimon, how do we know Rabbi Shimon? D'tanya, Amar lahem Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim. So here is a case where a Yivama falls to Yivamim, but the Yivamim are underage. They're minors. But they're over the age of 9. Over the age of 9, then Bi'atan Bi'ah. Their Bi'ah is a real Bi'ah. But obviously they're not a gadol to the sense that they can perform Yibum over here. The one that happened in this scenario is the Yivama fell to them. Then one of these minors had Bi'ah with her. And then a second minor had Bi'ah with her. So they both had Bi'ah with her, these two minors. But over the age of 9, but not old enough to form Yibum. What is the status of this woman? There's a machloket Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. So the Chachamim say over there that the Bi'ah of the second one is posel the Bi'ah of the first one. And that if the word first Bi'ah would have been fine, and then she could have continued along and they could have become Yavam and Yavama once he became of age, if they had been all that happened. But over here, the second brother interceded and had Bi'ah with her. According to the Chachamim, that second Bi'ah ruins it for the first brother, and it's a Bi'ah psula that creates problems all around. Now, what Rabbi Shimon says to them, Amar lahem Rabbi Shimon Chachamim, in Bi'at Rishon Bi'ah, The bia sheni ain't a bia. Let's just understand this. If the bia of the first brother was effective enough to create some sort of relationship here, then the second bia is meaningless. Ain't bia achar bia when bia rishona. We're in bia rishona ain't a bia. If you tell me that the first bia is ineffective, then bia sheni nami ain't a bia. Then the bia of the second one is also ineffective. I mean, this is very similar to what Rava was explaining Rabbi Gamliel, which is either it works or it doesn't work. If it works, then the first one had bia and everything's done, and the second bia is a bia znut, and we'll have to deal with that in a second, then it's bia znut, but it shouldn't have any impact on the yirbum over here. Whereas if you think it's ineffective, then just like it was ineffective for the first, it's ineffective for the second. Why is there a psula here? Why is she prevented from marrying that first one? He says, "Biat benteisha k'mamar shavua rabbanan." So there you see. What did you see here? He says that biat of a benteisha has the same impact as mamar. So Rabbi Shimon equates the biat of a 9-year-old while he's still a minor until he becomes of age to that of mamar. And what do you see here? He says that basically ein mamar achar mamar or ein biat achar biat in that situation, which means that ein mamar achar mamar according to him. So you see from Bishimon, he says that Mamar and Bia are the same thing. And therefore, if you had Bia, the second Bia is ineffective either way. It's basically the same Shita as Rabban Gamliel, that ain't Mamar, Achar Mamar, by the fact that you are connecting the Mamar to Bia. So a number of things on here. First of all, in the scenario where he suggests that the first Bia is effective, let's say that the Bia of the first one is effective, then the Bia of the second one, he says, will be ineffective. Now why is it ineffective? If the B of the first one is effective, then the B of the second one is an extramarital affair that should cause the woman to be a surah on the first one because of the znut over here. So Rashi says that's not a problem because we say, v'imishum de zinta de kaimelon biato bia, if you think both of them have effective bia and has znut here, afilo achi lo mitzara bala, she's not a surah to the first one because the kaimelon enisha neseret abala ala iske kinoi vistira. The only way that a woman becomes a surah to her original husband is if there was an act of kinoi stira, which comes out of sota. She warns her not to be mityached with this man, and she goes ahead, it's mityached, that causes a problem. Tosafot jumps on Rashi and says, who said that? That's only if we have no edim. But if we have edim, then the wife becomes problematic to the first one, meaning that if you have only eid echad, you need kinoi bistira. But if you have shtei edim, that she had an extramarital affair, she's a sur la bala. She can't go back to the first one. So what's Rashi saying over here? So Tosfot says, so why isn't it a problem? Why isn't the znut of the second one a problem over here? Vomari, shehu ta'ut sofer. He says, whatever was written in Rashi was a mistake. Ta'ut sofer means that somebody got it wrong. V'lo perishu Rashi le'olam. Says Rashi never said such a thing. Eid echad v'adai enu neseret elu b'kino yistira. You're right, that's only with an eid echad. Aval be'edei tuma neseret v'lo kinoi. If you have two edim that said she had an extramarital affair, she's not going back to her husband. It's over. So now he says, v'omeri demairi. So what are the scenarios here where it doesn't cause a problem? Either de'ba'ala b'shogeg, she'ne neseret. It was a case of shogeg. So therefore, she's not a surah because it has to be mezid. It has to be, in order for the woman to come a surah with her husband, it has to be a consensual affair that she knows that she's been mezanet of her husband. Here, if it's a case of shogeg, she might have been consensual, but she might not have known that she was engaging in a zinut. Right, she thought that it was the other brother. Whatever it was, there was a certain amount of shogeg here. Or inami biktana. We're talking about that the woman is also a minor. Because if she's a minor, then pitui ktana onesu. We said before that when you have seduction of a minor, it's not considered to be a consensual affair. It's considered to be the equivalent of ones, of rape. Inami b'balea bal korcha. Or the other possibility is that he actually did rape her, meaning that the second guy did it against her will, because by Yivama, technically, right, it can be done even by Al-Korcha. Then Tosfot challenges that and says, wait a minute, we said earlier in the Masechta that even though there's Bia Al-Korcha, Mamar cannot be done by Al-Korcha. But then he says, Tosfot says, well, it's different here, because here we're not saying that this is Mamar, we're saying that Bia is like Mamar. So therefore, Bia over here works like Bia, but it just affects like Mamar. So here you could have Bia Al-Korcha, and it'd still be classified as Ma'amar, because it's not within the world of Ma'amar, it's in the world of Bia. Since in the world of Bia, Bia Bal Korcha works, therefore the Ma'amar here will also be considered or classified like Ma'amar. So Tosfot comes up with other scenarios where the relationship with the second brother will not make her a surah to the first brother, by coming up with scenarios where it wasn't a problem of an extramarital affair, not like what Rashi suggests, but different possibilities as to why it's not a problem. Right now, next we have here on the list is Ben Azai. Ben Azai the Tanya, Ben Azai Omer, Yesh Mamar Achar Mamar, B'shnei Yivamim V'yama Achat. There is Mamar Achar Mamar when you're talking about two brothers and a single Yivama. V'yim Mamar Achar Mamar, B'shnei Yivamot V'yabam Echad. But there is no Mar Achar Mamar Achar when you're talking about one Yabam towards two Yivamot. So you see that he does have a concept of V'yim Mamar Achar Mamar. Now why does it work in one way and not the other? Here there's a machloket about the Girsa. Rashi brings the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, he says is Lashon Mori. Says, that's my Rebbeim's girsa, and this is the way that you explain it. By the case of Shnei Yivamim V'Yavamah Achat, when you have two brothers and a single Yivamah, that the Rabbanan granted the right of Mamar to each of the brothers. Each brother has a cord in his hand that he can utilize. That cord is Mamar. So therefore, there is Mamar Achar Mamar. On the other hand, Ein Mamar Achar Mamar B'Shnei Yivamot V'Yavamah Achat is because there's one Yavam only has one card of Mamar. If he exercises that card, he can't exercise it twice. That's the way that his Rebbeim explained it. Lishna Achrina, there was another Lashon Rashi brings down, which had the Girsa be just the opposite. Which is, Ein Mamar Achar Mamar B'Shnei Yivamim V'Yama Achat. Ein Mamar Mamar when there are two brothers and one Yivama. Because it's like Kiddushin. Why is it like Kiddushin? A woman can only have Kiddushin performed with her once. So to over here, Mamar is only effective once with single Yivama. Whereas, when you have Mamar Achar Mamar B'Shnei Yivamot V'Yabam Echad. By one Yabam and two Yivamot, a man can marry multiple women, he can have Kiddushin with multiple women, so too he can have Mamar with multiple women. So that's how you would explain the Girsa in the reverse, which is, the first Lashon says that each brother is granted a right of Mamar. In the second one we say Mamar equates to Kiddushin. And so the Kiddushin can only be performed once with one, well, a woman can only have one Kiddushin, whereas a man can perform multiple Kiddushin. So that's why it'll be the reverse of the Girsa. Rashi says that he doesn't like that. He says, Lashon Rishon Ikar, because he says, later on in our perek, there's a proof that this is the right girsa. The first girsa is right. Tosafot says, brings down Rashi. He says, Ri Omer de Shapir Gari Sipcha. You can explain it the other way. So again, there is a possibility of both girsa. Oh, either way, you see from Ben Azai that in certain circumstances, Ein Mamar Achar Mamar. So Ben Azai again has this power of Mamar. It's obviously not as powerful as some of the other Mamars here, because he only says it in certain circumstances. But he at least agrees that Mamar in certain circumstances has that power. Of course, the last one is Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah is our Mishnah. That's none by Rabbi Nechemiah and the Chachamim argue about whether there is Bia Achar Bia when Bia turns up in the middle. The Chachamim say Bia is only the end of the line when it's first. Rabbi Nechemiah says Bia is the end of the line no matter where it turns up. Nechemiah Omer, Achad Bila, Vachad Chalitza, Ben Bitkila, Ben Behemza, Ben Besof, Ein Aracharei Klum. That whenever Bia shows up in the process, that ends the game. The game's over after that Bia. Vaha, Bia Psula. Hey, first of all, the Bia in the middle, everybody agrees, is a Bia Psula. And, Ha Bia Psula, Ki Mamar Shavu Rabbanan. That a Bia Psula has the equivalent, or equates to Mamar. And what does he say? Viktani, Ein Aracharei Klum. So he basically says, just like there's Ein Mamar Achar Mamar, Ein Bia Achar Bia, Ein Bia Psula Achar Bia Psula, because it's no different than a Mamar. Bia Psula has the same impact as Mamar. Since it has the same impact as Mamar, therefore, it cannot be repeated. So now, Tosfot over here questions this whole position within Rabbi Nechemiah, because the Gemara in the end of the parak is going to give a different reason for Rabbi Nechemiah. He says, Perish, what din achar Mamar tema? The besov pirkim efarish time of the Rabbi Nechemiah. You know what the reason behind Rabbi Nechemiah is? The lekalamigzar bia shachar get, umamar, al tu bia shachar chalitza ubia. Came into Chalitza Bia, Midoraita, Midiyadiyah. He says there's no reason to make Gezerot. Remember at the beginning, yesterday's daf, we explained the position of the Chachamim was all Otu. It was a question of, why do we worry about Bia after this? Or why do we worry about Bia after this? Because maybe in another scenario, he will say, oh, just like Bia is effective over here, it'll also be effective over here when it's not effective. Or just like it doesn't work over here, it won't work over here. So if that's the case, we don't want to allow it to go through. Rabbi Nechemiah says people aren't going to make those mistakes. Because Bia and Chalitza are functioning Doraita. Ma'amar and Get are functioning Derabanan. And everybody knows that when you're on a Doraita level, you're not dealing with the Derabanan level. So there's no confusion. So then, if that's the case, Im Kamen Olan Deloya Klum Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar. Then the truth is, it's not true over here. The reason that there's no Bia Achar Bia has nothing to do with Ma'amar, that it's like Ma'amar. It has to do with the fact that Bia is Doraita. So everybody knows that after Bia, nothing happens. And you're not going to confuse that with other things like the Rabbanan said at the beginning of the Perek, Because Bia is just a d'oraita option. It's not a d'rabbanan option. So Tosfos wants to try to understand here, why is it that this works? So he gives one explanation. So it has, he solved the problem. He elevates get and mamar to d'oraita, so now they're all in the same plane. Tosfos rejects that. He says, we never heard of such a thing that get and mamar d'oraita, except for Beit Shammai, of course. He says, the Lashon of the Shas doesn't fit that. So he says, Anir Larid, Achupe Rusho. This is how to explain it. He explains that the gzerot are applicable even according to if you say that Bia is not here, because the whole concept of a mamar, acha mamar, is only according to Rabban Gamliel. But according to the Chachamim, it would have made sense to say that there is mamar, achar mamar, and therefore, biap psula after biap psula should have the same impact. The fact that he doesn't say that shows you that he believes in mamar, achar mamar. Because otherwise, he would have opted to be like the Chachamim's position. So basically, what we're saying in the end is he must subscribe to Gamliel's position, otherwise he should have been gozer, biap psula, achar biap psula, like he is gozer, the Chachamim are gozer mamar achar mamar. The fact that he doesn't do that shows that he subscribes to Gamliel's position, and that's how we know that he thinks mamar is stronger. So again, both will be true. The reason he isn't gozer after Biyah is because Biyah is the oraita versus everything else. But despite that fact, maybe he should have been gozer because it's biap psula, and biap psula achar biap psula should be equivalent to mamar achar mamar. The fact that he doesn't do that shows you he holds like Rabban Gamliel that ain't mamar achar mamar, and that's the proof that they all have this similar position, that mamar is strong enough that it doesn't allow something to happen afterwards, and that's the commonality between these five Tanaim. Okay, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Nuvalef Amud Bet.